T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
For the third offense, they should not be able to play in the playoffs. They should be kicked out of the postseason. They really should be.
This is BS.
Man, you must be motherfucking
Dale Arnold.
You guys know that video of something you don't really need for right now is B-roll?
B-roll is stuff that you can play in the background.
What are we doing this for? Why are we doing it?
B-roll!
Why don't you stop talking for a while?
Rich Keith.
You'll take your daughter.
Your wife's taken care of.
He'll walk your dog, if you know what I mean.
Degenerate Santa.
Dale and Keith. Middays.
Is this Dale and Keith?
I have no comment on that.
I do not have anything to add.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Here we go. It's a Friday edition of Dale and Keefe. Dale is off today. Andy Hart is in as always, and Mutt is in for Dale. Gentlemen, how are you today?
Hello, hello.
What's up?
You excited?
Do not have anything to add.
You have nothing to add today. Yeah, that's a
long 4 hours.
That's sort of an all-timer, isn't it?
Like, have anything to add.
It's great. Zach Taylor.
I do not have anything to add.
Zach Taylor went with the no comment. I have no comment
right.
Yesterday.
I have no comment on that.
I do not have anything to add, though.
I like how they tried to button hook him when he said, you know, I'm just focused on my time management, getting ready for a big game. And they're like, well, your time right now is with us. So do you want to talk about it because you have to be with us either way?
Don't pay me in a box.
Yeah, he's like, I'm still looking at film. What you guys can't tell in the conference
call. B-roll.
As I'm staring at film right now.
B-roll. Oh, no. When somebody's doing that and Bill does that every Tuesday, watches film and chews and types.
He has his lunch.
Typing in the background. Yeah. Sometimes he walks away from the microphone and then comes back to the phone.
Not into it. But that's what's going on there. We got Jason McCord. It's a Patriots Friday. He will join us sometime probably later on this hour, maybe early next hour. Michael Irvin will join us at the end of the program. Michael Irvin sometimes can be a tricky guy to track down, right, John Anderson, our producer?
Yeah, including his flight. His flight couldn't track him down, so we had to flip it from, he was supposed to be 10:05, he's now 1:45.
So 1:45, so the last thing you hear on our show today will be Michael Irvin.
You know who needs to hear that?
Who's that?
Colin Cowherd, who is pretending that McDaniels and Brady to the Cowboys is a story. When I asked Michael Irvin about it, was that 2 weeks ago?
See, once again, you have the national guys picking up on local things like weeks later.
Yeah,
we still haven't really picked up on the Brady thing yet. It's still been slower than I thought.
They're like slowly getting there, and that's why Cowherd, when he mentioned, he's like, McDaniels and Brady going to Dallas, and his co-host was like, oh my God, I never considered
it. We already got Hall of Famer Michael Irvin to talk about it, laugh about it, and acknowledge it. Right. What did he say? Like two? Didn't say it, but two plus two.
Yeah, I think he'd be.
You said it. I did.
Tally-ho.
I think he would certainly be on board with that. Did you guys catch the Ravens last night?
I did. I mean, the Super Bowl champs.
That team
I saw them play last night. They're pretty good.
Anointing them.
Anointing. Give them the damn trophy.
They are head shoulders. AFC champs. Now.
Whole thing.
Lamar Jackson at quarterback.
If you have 2 weeks to get prepared for him and maybe come up with something defensively, I guess. But
I don't know,
Chiefs
man.
Aren't beating him. The Patriots aren't beating him. The Texans aren't beating him. The Bills, Steelers, whatever. That's the best team in football in all likelihood right now.
Yes.
And they're going to the Super Bowl.
They are nasty.
They're awesome.
And they're fun, too.
And they're fun to watch. And I mean, the Jets are the Jets, whatever. But still, just another dominant performance by Lamar Jackson. And again,
MVP.
Shine was right. If 5 years from now, if Lamar Jackson's hurt, it doesn't matter because what he's doing right now, teams have not been able to stop it. And I wondered if the game against San Francisco, although that was like a monsoon-like conditions, and then the last game against the Bills, they kind of slowed him down a little bit. You're wondering, all right, is the book out yet on Lamar Jackson? Usually when somebody comes into the league and does something a little bit different, it takes some time, but ultimately it gets sniffed out.
But there is no book on. Did you watch last week the Bills linebacker, I don't know his name, who broke into the backfield,
pants,
broke down, was going to, and he broke his ankles, and he just fell down and ran around.
Right off the edge. Well,
the book is there. Sure. Or these backside ends who, I need you to stay home because he could run this way, and they stay home.
Right.
And then he just runs the freak around him for a first.
It's ridiculous.
There's the book and the knowledge and the do the right thing, and then there's the actual ability when he's coming at you to get a finger on him. Not tackle him.
No,
get a finger
I know.
On him.
And I think they really do have the best kind of setup around him. Mark Ingram, above average running back. In fact, very good running back.
Perfect fit.
And apparently really good at that option read. Like, he's very good selling it. You saw it even last night when it's an apparent Lamar Jackson hold. He's keeping the ball.
Yeah.
Two linebackers surging on Ingram because he sells it every time.
And also is madly in love with being the running back with Lamar Jackson. There's no, like, jealousy of,
no.
Like,
yeah,
who and said
he
it last
is
night?
The hype man.
He left New Orleans because he wanted more carries. And Lamar Jackson's getting more carries. Like, he wanted to split time with Kamara, and now he's splitting times with Lamar Jackson,
but he's okay doing it. He seems to like Lamar Jackson more than anyone on the planet.
And so that's the perfect fit, right? Because you could easily have a guy that gets pissed, that doesn't like it or whatever, or just the way that it is. There are times where he might see it differently than Lamar and just wants to, like, grab the ball from him and be like, look, I got a hole right here. And he's like, nope, Lamar's like, I'm gonna take it. But he's having a great year for him. He's going to be closing in on 1,000 yards here soon. Not there
and
yet,
now they're
but he
talking
will be there soon.
I don't know if you guys saw the post-game interview where Lamar's like, oh, I wish I had gotten Mark a few more yards tonight, another touchdown. I want to make sure I get him 1,000 yards.
Oh, he knows what he's doing.
They're playing the stat game in the win game.
Then you combine it with a burner at receiver in Hollywood Brown.
Yep.
Did you watch the game?
Yeah,
the bulk of it?
I did. I already asked that. Yes, I did.
Just making sure.
Yeah.
So I hate to criticize coordinators generally.
Why?
Like, I think they make a lot of good calls, and then we pick out one. But there was
Greg Roman's getting a head coaching job. What's the criticism?
Should. No. The other side of the ball.
Okay, Adam.
They had a play where they line up, and their defense called for the inside linebacker to run stride for stride, man-to-man with Hollywood Brown down the field.
No, it's not going to work. It's never going to work.
Not only is it not going to work, if anyone ever raises their hand and says, what if they put the fast guy in the slot and I am one-on-one? Scrap the defense.
Run away.
Go base.
Or
base,
tackle
cover
him.
Two. Something.
Yeah, you can't run that. That's not going to work.
The guy actually did a decent job running with him and then just tackled him for a pass interference in the end zone.
Yeah.
But Greg Williams, you're supposed to be this. I had 17 job offers when I was unemployed.
How badly did he want to injure Lamar Jackson? That's all Greg Williams was thinking last night.
That bounty pregame was unbelievable.
Terrible. Break his leg. But then on top of it, and then Mark Andrews, the tight end who's solid.
Very good.
Keep going. Hold on. They have three tight ends better than any tight end on the Patriots roster.
They do have three tight ends.
Andrews, Hurst, who was a first-round pick, and Nick Boyle.
Yeah.
All three of those guys are better than anything than Matt LaCoste or Ben Watson. So three of those guys, middle of the field.
Right.
Hollywood Brown. Willie Snead,
yeah, I
guess.
Snead's whatever, but good enough. But it's good enough, but I just think the tight ends and the routes that they run, so it's like, you know, security blankets for Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
But then also, a defense can't go, all right, 11 guys in the box, tell them to screw, because then Hollywood Brown's just going to burn everybody down the field, and Lamar Jackson can still chuck it. Is Lamar Jackson more accurate than, like, Michael Vick was? Because the speed's probably the same.
Well, let's pull up the numbers.
Yes.
Right, good, like,
question.
Straight up speed,
I think.
Well,
Madden has given the edge to Lamar Jackson, and Michael Vick's not happy.
Oh, did they?
Broke his record, apparently, at the position.
99 overall speed.
Yeah. So, all right, at the very least, it's close.
Yes.
Like, that one's close. Like, Vic, Falcons Vic, not Eagles Vic, is really close as far as speed.
Pre-prison Vic.
Yes. Yeah, he had a hiatus there where he didn't play football. But I think,
doing laps in that 8x10 cell, lost a little something.
We've heard a lot of guys like Rex Ryan and others talk about Lamar Jackson and how he's the most special player they've ever seen, or there's nobody ever been like him and all this other stuff. And you're like, all right, well, he's killing it right now, but we have seen fast quarterbacks.
Yes.
You know, Michael Vick had a 1,000-yard season, right? So we've seen that before, but I'm trying to think what makes him even a step higher than that, and maybe it is he throws the ball better than Vick, right?
So you are dead
more accurate.
More accurately.
Have you looked at the numbers on this?
I have not.
All right, so Michael Vick's best completion percentage year with the Falcons, I'll give you that number, was 56%. What do you think Lamar Jackson is right now, percentage?
69.
Nice. 65?
66.
Yeah.
And it's in his second year.
Yeah, right.
So the idea, Wiggy.
He's a quarterback.
That he can't throw in the pocket.
He's a quarterback.
Is the dumbest take of all time.
Well, not all those come in the pocket, though. They do the little rollout where he just flicks it. How many times have you seen him the sidearm into the end zone, the little three-quarter, for a 4-yard touchdown pass?
Who has the best?
You know who I give credit for that?
Who?
Greg Roman.
Okay, but who has the best quarterback rating in the pocket this year? The answer is Lamar Jackson.
Ryan Tannehill.
So you know what? Hasn't been updated yet.
Probably Tannehill.
He's not just running around making plays out of the pocket. He stood, he waited last night. The Snead play, middle of the field. He two defenders, he found a window, and hit him right in stride.
Running aspect is what puts him over the top. And what I was going to say is, it's not only that he's playing well and what he's actually producing as a runner, as a thrower. It's what we've said the Patriots don't have all year. That focal point, the Gronk, right?
The explosive players.
But
I'll
just
say that too.
But just somebody that the defense is like, where is he? Now, he's the quarterback,
Edelman.
No.
They don't have to know where Edelman is?
No.
They should. He's the only guy they throw
to. They have
to
double him, but they really don't. have to know where he is. He's not going to make explosive plays.
Right. Correct. No, I'm with you on that.
It's not going 70 on any play.
Yeah, no, Gronk could take a 5-yard out and go to the house.
Right.
Yeah,
that was, I thought he brought fear to defenses. Lamar Jackson does that to defenses where there is that aura, that wow factor. So even the corner on that side, you're worried about, is he running, is he scrambling, or can I cover? That little hesitation, that quarter of a second thought of where is Lamar, not just where my guy, is such a huge
Every
overall
play,
factor.
Lamar Jackson could score, and so could Hollywood Brown. Like, they could score from any place on the field. The Patriots don't have any of those guys.
Right.
And it was glaring last week against the Chiefs, because the Chiefs had maybe 4 of those guys. Where, like, Tyreek Hill at any minute could score a touchdown.
Right.
You could be backed up on your own one, but you have to be prepared for him to score. Whereas, you're right. If there's a miscue defensively and Edelman is open, well, somebody will catch up to him, and it'll be a 30-yard gain and not a 65-yard touchdown.
Right. Yeah. You live to fight another play.
Right, exactly.
But with Lamar, and I think you see some of these, Mark Andrews, was it last week, the week before he had that, like, 65, 70-yard touchdown? He's creating those because so much of the defense, eyeballs, half a step, false step is towards him. What's he doing? What's he doing? And that we saw it against the Patriots when they ran that little diamond tight end formation. They had no idea who to cover. They're
wide
all
open.
Rolling out. Do
wide
I go
open.
With Lamar? Oh, I took a step up to Lamar, and I'm just dumping it off to the tight end.
What would it end 4th-and-2 on his own 25 last night, too?
Right.
The Sham. What do you think would prevent the Ravens from getting to the Super Bowl?
Lamar Jackson getting hurt.
The play that I saw last night.
That's it.
Probably he had a run last night where he got absolutely blown up by the inside linebacker, and it was in the chest, and he bounced right up. But if it's a little higher and it's in the side of the head, the chin, and he's concussed, like,
and so
who
for
knows?
People who always think things go the way for the Patriots, always kind of fall into place, that's what it would be, right? It'd be
Paul
like
Perillo.
Divisional round. Perillo is one of those guys. It'd be like the divisional round against the Texans or something, and they'd be up by 20 points, and Jackson would get tackled.
Turf monster gets him.
Right.
Yep. Like making a play, it's with Wes Welker in Houston.
Because so if every team is healthy, nobody sees Baltimore losing. And I'm with you guys on that.
I would like to argue, but I
mean, unless they're playing too well.
Oh,
we know Bill thinks
too early.
Here we go.
We know Bill thinks sometimes a loss is good. Bill believes
in that. Lamar Jackson.
Mike Vrabel could.
They need a loss right now reignite
him.
There's
part of me that is sort of rooting for him to succeed because of all the people who said, "Oh, you can't do it that way.
You've
got to
have
a drop back quarterback."
I'm suddenly rooting for him in a weird way.
Because did people say that, or do they say it's not sustainable? Because I believe it's sustainable.
I think it's both.
I believe it's not sustainable. You know my theory,
Mike.
There's no fat old men in nursing homes, and there's no old rushing running quarterbacks.
Okay, but Michael Vick played for how many years? 12 years in the NFL?
He was fine, and he sucked.
Sucked?
I don't think
no,
suck.
That's aggressive.
Come on.
That was aggressive.
Sucked.
You're right. Let me walk
Watch
that back.
Watch your mouth. Watch your mouth.
Oh, I don't want. What's his name, Colin?
Michael Vick.
Who's the guy that loves Michael Vick?
Eric from work.
Yeah. Eric, I apologize, Eric.
I can honestly say there's no one I'd rather spend the next 6 months with. Than Michael Vick.
Same, Eric.
That's I would say he was sustainable, but he wasn't, you know, an MVP or anything like that. Lamar Jackson's going to be the MVP this year.
Yes. Mark Ingram said that.
But the question would be, and it looks different, but can he be sustainable? So Matt Ryan and Cam Newton were both MVPs.
Yes.
But I don't look at either one as like all-time greats.
No.
You know, I mean, Matt
Ryan's going to get the numbers to do it.
Well, Eli Manning has the numbers. Roethlisberger has the numbers. I don't think they're all-time greats.
No.
But Lamar Jackson, this is year 2 we're talking
about.
But
he's not rushing for 1,300 yards every season. He can't.
No, this will be sort of a peak, and then
and
they'll start
can't,
to
but
back
pick
off
his spot.
A
but if Russell Wilson's it.
Yes,
if he Russell Wilson's
terrific
it.
Terrific in the pocket.
That is the measuring stick of a mobile quarterback who knows when to slide, when to dive, when to whatever.
Could he be as good if he doesn't run for 1,000 yards? Because Wilson, as good as he was, had like an 800-yard season and wasn't as reliant on running.
Yes, I would say yes. Now, the offense will have to evolve. Like, I don't think anymore you can just have Hollywood Brown and, you know, these receivers that are kind of riding his coattails. You'll need some receivers that just flat out get open and he hits them. A little bit more of a traditional passing attack.
Yeah. Because they're not exactly.
You also need him to sustain this. Because I keep telling you guys this. I watched that stupid bowl game, which is what completely jaded my view on him.
His last game at Louisville?
He sucked in the playoff game last year. People were ready to write him off after
the
Chargers, right?
Yeah, he was
but
that's so
different. He was
bad
a rookie thrower, could be a running back quarterback in that game. I gave him the benefit of the doubt in that. This is his last college game. You know, Heisman, I'm supposed to be the greatest thing, the next big thing, and he fell on his face in a nothing bowl. That concerned me. Now he's not falling on his face.
Now everybody's got him now going to the Super Bowl. Well, don't know if anybody can stand in his way.
The other hurdle is going to be he's going to lose his coordinator. Like, Greg Roman's going to get a job. There's like going to be 9-10 openings in the NFL. Greg Roman goes somewhere. Unless, I can't imagine he decides, like, I want to stay with this guy because he's a generational player.
Is he going to take
Because you only get so
him?
Many head... That's, wait, Roman? Well, listen. RG3 or somebody.
Some
if you're
going to
run that
scoop.
Offense.
Yeah.
I've not looked. Andy, maybe you've looked at the college draft. Is there... The next
Lamar
Light, who's available in the draft? I don't know, but Greg Roman's going to get a job. So
I mean, there's a whole
how does he deal with that next year?
Like, not good.
Jalen Hurts runs, but he's not like a speed demon by any means.
There's a whole crew of them there as well. Like Virginia Tech has one.
I don't
Marcus Vick?
All the time. Still available?
Arizona
he's got
has
XFL
one.
Written all over Marcus Vick.
There's like five or six of them that now that's Mobile. The thing. All these scouts are saying, whoa, it's worked for Lamar. No, Lamar was special in college.
Well, Bill Polian had Lamar as a wideout, so.
Well, it happens.
You know, he's going to be
the only
MVP as a quarterback. It's not like
he wasn't the only
it's
one.
It's not like he moved on to be like a starter. Like, no, he's the MVP of the league. That was like, was it the University of Texas? It was like back-to-back years. They wanted like Manziel and like Robert Griffin III to play like wideout.
Oh, yeah.
They both won Heisman's like in the state with somebody else.
Well, like, this is going to give more of these athletes, I guess they're labeled as athletes in college. Like, that's the position.
Yeah,
they're
going
to get the chance now to play quarterback. Because Lamar Jackson, they wanted to switch his position. The first practice, he showed up and they said,
we're
going to change your position. And his mom said, nope, we're staying a quarterback. And now... More guys will get a chance to do it because of his success.
It's also going to force the NFL to have more offenses that utilize those quarterbacks. Because you can pretend I'm going to look for pocket passers because we're the NFL and we pocket pass. Well, you can't make them. You can't get blood out of a stone.
Well, like
colleges are running these spread athletic attacks with these athletic quarterbacks.
Running.
So go get them. Use
like
them. Find a way.
5 years from now, will there be anybody in the league that plays the position like Brady does?
That'll
you think there still
exist.
Will be?
Yes.
There will
but
be
I think it's getting smaller. And... bigger picture, I'm not sure it's great for the league. Great for the Ravens, great for the position and the guys that play the position. But for the league, if you have these guys, like Andy said, that injury risk is up because of how they play, well, we know how bad it is when they go to backup quarterbacks. I mean, look at some of the bad QBs they're going to play. Eli Manning?
But what if there's
Eli
more,
Manning in primetime? Like,
what if there's more of them?
Duck Hodges?
What if there are
so everyone's
more
got,
of
everyone's
the
got the repeater.
That was always
they got the
theory,
RG3,
remember?
They got the next guy.
This was 15, 20 years ago. You can run the option. But
those
you have to have
Hodges,
three
work.
Quarterbacks ready
play.
To go. And
scrap.
We're out on that.
You don't have to be as precise, right? If the offense is run like Greg Roman does it, maybe you can find two or three guys to have ready so that it doesn't fall off. If you have the workhorse running back and the tight ends and you kind of build your system for this. I think the problem is when you rely on Tom Brady or that type of quarterback to cover up all that ails you, and then you go to the backup, and sure, he's a pocket passer, but...
Yeah,
he's 20 cents on the dollar to your starter. True. It all falls apart.
The scenario would for the Patriots to beat them would have been them getting one of the top two seeds and the Ravens somehow not being. Like, they have to, the Patriots have a bye week
Patriots
to prepare.
Would need home field,
and
first of
they're
all.
They're at home, and they would have a couple, an extra week to prepare for them. That I could convince myself that Belichick, second time around with an extra week, could slow him down a little bit, but not when they're going to have to play.
Know.
Now they're going to play Kansas City home on a Saturday night. And then go to Baltimore the following Sunday afternoon. No, they can't win those two games.
I also didn't think, like, I thought there were some times in that game John Simon played relatively well. Like, he ran him out of bounds for like a 3 yard
game. Is that about the Baltimore game?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I didn't feel like they got totally undressed by him as a runner in that game.
Right.
And if he plays you often enough, John Simon is going to get undressed and embarrassed and fall on his face on the edge. So I think there's just as equal a chance that he has a better game.
I mean, we all got the Ravens in the Super Bowl. Maybe you disagree. 617-779-7937, the number to jump aboard. We'll turn our attention to the Patriots as well. Look at their current injury situation. Also ask these guys if Spygate 2 matters.
We don't
at
call
all.
It that around here.
What do you call it?
I haven't come up with anything yet,
it's
but
been
I yelled
2 days now. Right. Yeah, it's Spygate 2.0.
It's not Spygate football 2, and it's not cheating.
Electric Boogaloo. Andy Hart will weigh in on that. Again, Jason McCourty sometime this hour. Michael Irvin at the end of the program. Don't forget, Shime's going to give us money again at 1:30 today.
Ooh.
He's going to the picks a click or whatever it is. The hell that it is. You're gonna
the hell that it is.
Do you follow the Winners Club Pod?
Of course.
On Twitter.
It's a good follow.
You're lying. Last night.
What was your favorite part of the most recent episode?
No, he said, do I follow them on Twitter?
Yeah, I don't ask
you. He didn't say, do I listen every episode?
No, I'm just saying, last night...
I'm a busy guy.
Your friend Shime is betting in-game on overs. Like,
and losing.
Betting Jets overs and team total overs in-game.
Don't worry about what he's doing, all right?
I'm a little I'm concerned.
But shouldn't he be doing
that? I would have been just fine if they had taken Lamar Jackson out like they should have.
That's another Shime chime.
Instead, they're risking him getting injured before the playoffs.
So now you're... questioning the coaching.
100%.
Okay. Well, he'll have more bad decision making. But that was a Thursday night pick. I'm not worried about the Thursday night pick. He picks Sunday games.
He does a great job on Sunday.
We're not doing that again.
Sunday. Sean's back for more picks.
We're not doing that again.
Yes, Santa always lives on Sunday.
It's Dale and Keith Munson for Dale. Andy Hart is here.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Now back to Dale and Keith, WEEI.
You know, a few days getting familiar with the Bengals, and you know, this is a football team that, you know, doesn't have a good record, but they actually do a lot of things really well in all three phases of the game. Been very, you know, impressed watching them play. You know, they cause a lot of problems.
Is that true?
No! Don't sleep on the Cincinnati Bengals. That's Bill Belichick from earlier in the week. And why would you? They're 1-12. They got a rookie head coach in Zach Taylor. They benched Andy Dalton, then they brought him back. They at one point lost 11 straight games. Then they somehow beat the Jets. Well, it's because the Jets are bad. Then they lost last week.
We saw last night how they beat the Jets.
Yeah, that's the problem. He likes what they've done. They've done a lot of good things. I guess they've had a couple of close games in here.
I'm Runberg?
Not too many.
No, the Chargers played close games. They're 2-8-1
Seattle
score.
Seattle, they lost to Seattle by a point, I think, to open the season.
And the opener, they lost by a point.
And the Ravens, they were within a score, but they scored late to make a two-score
game.
They
did. They played the Ravens twice. One game they lost by 6. One game they lost by 36. So that was a little different.
I actually believe the 36 is closer to who they are than the 6.
Well, the Ryan Finley era lasted 3 games.
Well, that hurt them. I don't know why they tried him out, but I mean, Dalton's a better quarterback. I mean, I guess they wanted to see if they had him.
Yeah, but you know what I was a little surprised by is that the spread is only 9.5, which sort of leads you to believe that, you know, Vegas is like, well, how many points are the Patriots really going
to
score?
Well, I would, if you gun to your head, aren't you taking the Bengals plus the points?
I do like a home dog.
I mean, they're...
I don't know, though. I feel like I
okay,
just...
Okay, you don't know.
I don't
how many,
know.
How many points...
It's not my job to know,
how many points would you guesstimate the Patriots score on Sunday? Because it could be a wide range.
27.
A really wide range. Really? I'm not sure they can score 27.
20...
I'm not sure either.
Edelman's got 2 different injuries.
3,
They can't run the football. And their offensive line, was the pressure number like 58% of the time the Chiefs
Isaiah
got pressure?
Isaiah Wynn now has an eyeball injury.
Which we know the extent of that?
So just block.
What happened
blindly.
To him?
You should be able to do it blindly. You're just punching your hands.
Marcus Smart has an eye injury.
that's how Newhouse did it.
Yeah, that should be fine.
Marshall's done a good job.
Yeah, sure he hasn't. You might see him though on Sunday. What, does he have pink eye, or does he have like what's going on?
Don't we have boots on the ground? Is Hannibal there? Can he go check
Hannibal,
out his locker?
Yeah, Hannibal Sean, is call there. Hannibal and find out what the eye injury is.
Look him in the eye.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, call Hannibal.
Thanks.
Let me add to your point, Mutt. There is one thing that the Bengals legitimately do well. I believe they are number 2 or number 3 in the league in red zone defense. So the Patriots' red zone offense
forget
sucks.
Forget it, then.
And they're going up against a good red zone defense.
They're also a very good special teams team. This came up yesterday on the Winners Club Pod. They're number 1 DVOA in special teams.
Yeah,
you don't care about that.
And Bill brought that up. Bill, when he stopped saying, you know, they're better than the record, the first thing he brought up was special teams.
I don't
Never a good thing for that team when the first thing he brings up is their special teams. Because guess what? Dirty little secret, it's not a third of the game.
Good in the kicking game.
No,
not a third of the game. Was he the one who said third of the game? No, somebody did.
Belichick used to, but we asked him about it a couple years ago, and he admitted that it's not anymore. Right. Even he said that it's not.
Because it never was.
And yet he still invests
by
all
the
kinds
nature
of money
of
in the
business,
yeah.
There's first down, second down, third down that are all offensive and defensive plays, and then there's a play for special teams.
Do you think there'll be a point in the game in the second half where you say, I'm not sure the Pats win? Because I don't.
No.
I don't think the Bengals. I mean,
replace that
Bengals
with cover,
are.
Then yes.
Yes.
Come on, kick that field goal, Cincy. Kick
no,
that
this
field goal.
I know the Bengals aren't as good, But, like, I didn't think the Patriots were going to lose to the Cowboys, but the Cowboys were a crazy play away.
The weather changed everything there, in my opinion, because it took away all their explosiveness, the Cowboys' explosiveness offensively.
Their quarterback was like, glove, no glove, can't throw.
Yeah, he was I mean, we've seen it since Peyton Manning's come in here in the snow. People get rattled by the weather.
Right, he was seeing raindrops, not ghosts, but it was bothering.
He was having a hard time. Any new developments or any new opinions on Spygate 2 that you guys have had? You don't have a name for it.
Videotaping mistake.
Okay.
Do you Doesn't roll off really the tongue.
Videotaping, very sexy.
That's not fixed camera on a tripod.
Yeah, I want more B-roll talk from Glenn. That's my.
I
want
to know what is B-roll. How is it used? How is it filmed?
I do. What does the B stand for?
B-roll.
Why do we have all those cuts?
Because he said B-roll literally 1,000 times in 96 hours.
Why?
Because he's obsessed with it.
It was. It was a pretty significant part of the story.
He talked to somebody, the same guy that everyone on the beat talked to.
Yeah.
And that Mutt would have any idea? This is not a knock on you, Mutt.
Feels like it.
It's B-roll talk.
We got a fourth man in today. It's Glenn Ordway.
He's out today, too.
So what do you want to know?
Is he out?
Is he out?
He's out today.
He's out today.
Oh, that's right. All the OGs are out today.
If you're like a major age-old host on the show, you just take Fridays off?
Say old?
Watch
yourself. You just take Fridays off?
Watch yourself.
You're allowed an option.
It's the holiday season.
Here's my only take that is different than everyone else.
Yes.
I think there is a benefit to doing what they did. Now, I don't think they did it purposely. I agree with everybody else. Accidental. Didn't do it on purpose. Belichick's not like some mastermind puppeteer.
Yeah, I think he has zero to do with it.
But the people that are saying there's no benefit to it, Chatham, Ordway, etc. There's definitely, even if it's 1% edge, that's what Bill lives for. The 1% margins, getting one small advantage, one personnel group change, one audible change.
No, I'm with you on
that. There's an advantage to it. Why try to pretend there's not?
If they did it, I think there's something that a genius
like Belichick. What are you, O.J. Simpson?
No, but they didn't. They didn't. No, they Belichick had nothing to do with
the world.
I don't believe in yours truly. I don't think he had anything to do with it.
He didn't. It's not a thing. I can tell you like 100%. He did not have anything to do with it.
Right. But.
And by the way, so what are you getting on the video that you wouldn't get through the eyes of the scout?
You get the direct comparison to exactly what it looks like. So you think Belichick would be better at learning a certain audible call or certain personnel call from watching the video or the scout telling him? And so I think it's the video.
If,
I think he's smart enough where the video helps.
The scout tells him when the guy does four fingers and then picks his ear, it's whatever. He needs to see the four fingers and pick his ear.
Well, Bill's a visual learner.
Yeah, there could be some nuance to it. How does he pick
his ear?
I've read
Do Your Job 6.
Yeah, he recently.
When he breaks
you won't be seeing more Do Your Jobs.
Come
I
on. I really want to
hear
one.
Are they going to cancel him? Is that the word?
I could guess, wouldn't you think? Or they'll be as bland as, you know,
the first
follow
seven.
Paul Perillo
but
around.
The Jim Whalen one.
When are we going to get the Paul Perillo story?
All this guy does is sit at his computer and then eat. It's always a calzone, too. Pepperoni.
He's just doing it. He's like,
you've neutered muck.
Sometimes I'll bring my own lunch. Other times, I'll stop
it's a
up
tough
at,
decision.
You know, there's a lot of good shops up here at
they
Patriot
send us
Place.
Lunch sometimes on Patriots Radio. Yes. Like,
let's wrap this up. Food's here.
Oh, my God.
See, there's Grandpa Perillo.
All right. But do you think it matters at all in the sense that people – I feel like you either thought they were cheaters and you hated them or you defended them at all costs anyway. So, like, in that regard, I think it has no impact.
5 days in, I've not changed my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
No. I still think the decision of the impact or the legs of this story fall on the league. And I've said this all – the longer it takes – I was stunned by that question to
Goodell.
You think you'll have it done by the end of the...
Nope.
I thought week would be the word there that would end that sentence. The season? And I know we're in December, but that's still a month.
It's really weird because if you go back to the original Spygate, 4 days it took for a punishment. And then you go to Deflategate and it was like 2 years.
Even right? AB thinks that would be dragging their feet if it took more than a month for this. I mean, there's nothing there.
It should be
and
immediate.
I still think the punishment will dictate how a lot of people view the act. If the league comes out and for whatever reason says $250K and a third round pick, people are going to say they were cheating. They wouldn't have punished them like that if they weren't cheating.
That's why they should show the video. I'm with you.
Show the video. I think they're going to get
show the video and how bland it was.
No, but if it's $50,000 and a seven is different than $250,000 and a three.
It's more than 50,000.
It's going to be $250,000.
It's a six-figure penalty and a seventh or
six or seven.
I think some people are going to read into that, especially if that comes in 2 weeks. That there was something there. Took them 3 weeks to investigate.
The same people that think that now, though, like Rob Parker.
No, I think some others will go that way, sway in that direction.
Now,
I agree with you guys. I don't think there's a lot of gray area. You're either a Patriots hater or a Patriots homer.
And then it just add it to the list.
Right.
Or you defend it. This one is easier to defend than the other two. Like this one, I think it's just like,
easier,
like somebody that had nothing to do with the football team staff.
Right.
Screwed up. And they work for Kraft Sports Productions.
Could have been me.
But they screwed up. It easily could have been Andy Hart.
Probably lucky it wasn't.
There's a good
you
chance.
Look back on it, kind of skated out of there just in time.
I mean, overall, it was just stupid, but I think because it's the Patriots, that's the only reason why it's going to be a draft pick.
Oh, yeah.
The
Bengals, it's 31 other teams.
It's the Patriots
no
tax.
That's
yes,
it. Now,
we're
I do
what
wonder,
for, yeah.
what's his, Zach Taylor didn't want to talk about it.
No, he really didn't. He seemed to be kind of shook about the whole thing.
Yes, he did. And by all accounts, though, they are pushing the point. They're upset about it. And I do wonder if that plays a role, too. If this had been Andy Reid or if this had been Sean Payton, and he just calls Bill after the game and says,
"What are you doing?
What the F was going on?" Maybe they talk about it.
So do you think Zach Taylor's handled this wrong?
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
I think he has every right to be upset, but I just think it may have played out differently with a. Now, he may also have a chip on his shoulder. Oh, you're doing this because it's me. You wouldn't have done this to Andy Reid. You wouldn't have gone to Kansas City
and
done this.
You're bullying me. You're pushing me around.
You think because I'm going to keep my mouth shut because I'm a young guy who's never coached in this league. Well, screw you. We got video. We're going after you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a layer there that plays into it, too.
All right, we're going to do a little bit of everything today. We will do some baseball talk, believe it or not, as the Red Sox could be trading Mookie Betts and or David Price.
Should be trading those two.
That Mutt's got to take on that.
Small market Red Sox. Let's go.
Sixers from last night. Tim Thomas spoke for the first time in a long time. That was kind of tough to hear, but we'll have the Tim Thomas stuff for you. Plus, we got Week in Review, and Michael Irvin will join us at the end of the program. You can join us at 617-779-7937. Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart and Mutt in for Dale, Sports Radio WEEI.
Now back to Dale and Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Here on a Friday edition of Dale and Keefe. That means Andy Hart is here. Dale has the day off. Mutt is in. Hopefully Dale's feeling better today.
I'll tell you what, this is not zero mocking, zero sarcasm.
I don't know.
Zero.
I feel like you have
zero.
A
I said it to your, I said it to your producers yesterday.
Yeah.
Absolute warrior to make it through 4 hours.
He got it. He got it through.
And then you today stepping up and doing
stepping up.
The midday show is carrying the station right now.
I would tend to agree. Time now to go to the Harbor One Bank hotline and bring in Jason McCourty, who is brought to you by Town Fair Tire and Big Y World Class Market. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing good. How about you guys?
Doing pretty well. Curious, is the story about the video camera in Cincinnati, is that resonating at all in the locker room? Is that something any of you guys have even discussed?
Dang, that's the first question? no, I think everybody, like, when it happens, like you all talking about, like, dang, did you see that? But I think beyond that, we really have no idea what goes on with anything of that nature. So I think for us, like, it has nothing to do with you. And I think for us last Sunday, you were playing a game here in Foxborough, so you have no idea what was going on in Cincinnati or anything like that. So I think for us, you may have a quick conversation about it. But then beyond that, it's just, all right, let's get back to football and focus on what we can control and what we can do to get the result that we want on Sunday.
So as a player, you don't get bothered when the people are, you know, the national pundits, these guys who don't like the Patriots anyway, Jason, saying they cheat, this is what they do. There's no after effect there in that locker room.
Nah, I mean, because honestly, none of us were there in the press box. None of the people that are making comments were there. None of us really have an account or know what took place. And anytime anything makes national news and national media, everybody's going to form and have an opinion on it. I think for us, we know who we are and what we do and how we prepare and all of that. So I think things that are said on the outside, not only here in football but in life, you can't let it control you or force any type of reaction out of you when you know it doesn't dictate anything in your life.
Jason, we always hear so often that, you know, real football starts after Thanksgiving and you got to be playing your best football of the year at this time of year, and yet you guys are on a two-game losing streak. How concerning is that, and how do you get out of that little slide?
I think you just continue to work, and I think the truth of it for us is we've gone up against some really good teams, and we haven't always played our best football throughout this kind of, I guess you can say, throughout the two-game skid. And I think you have to turn those games on, and you have to learn from it, and then you have to move forward. And I think, like you just said, you have to be playing your best football around this time, and we still have time to do so. So I think in the prior two games, we came up short, I think, but you learned something. You know, this last game, to be down at halftime versus Kansas City, to come out in that second half, and just make some plays. You know, they come out on the first drive, drive down, but we stop and force them to kick three. And we block a punt throughout the course of that. Dev forces a fumble, and we were one play away from walking out of that stadium with a win. So shows a little bit of resiliency. And same with Houston, to be able to drive and you're kicking an onside kick late in the game to try to come back and win it. So obviously in this next game and moving forward, we have to do a better job of starting fast and trying to play from ahead. So I think that's something that we can learn from and continue to move forward. But we obviously, like you just said, we want to get in a W column.
We always hear the idea that when Bill's doing his press conferences, he's not just talking to reporters, but in some way he's also talking to his football team. And I found it interesting on Wednesday, in the middle of an answer, he said, you know, we've won 10 games. We're a pretty good football team. We've accomplished some things this year. Was he talking to the team there? And is this a team that has any wavering confidence right now that maybe needed a pat on its back from its head coach?
No, I don't think, I honestly don't think anything Bill says in the media is directed to us as a team. He's the type of coach and the type of guy that if he has something that he wants to say to us, he'll say it right in our face in a squad meeting or a one-on-one meeting, whatever the case. I don't think he uses those type of tactics. I think for him it's two totally separate entities. And I think for most players, you hardly ever watch anybody's press conference or anything or read a transcript or anything of that nature. So I think that type of message, that I think that kind of goes forward throughout our entire season. Obviously, when you lose, there's going to be some criticism. There's going to be sometimes it's tough to watch that game tape. But I think it's always about correcting the mistakes, but then building guys up and building us up as a team. And I think we do that on a regular basis here as a ball club.
We're talking with Jason McCourty, who you returned to the field last week after missing a couple of games, and we see the injury report every week, and it seems to just be piling up more and more. At this stage of the year, what is it like during the week as you're trying to prepare, knowing that everybody's probably dealing with something, some worse than others, but I got to imagine, you know, getting into week 15 compared to week one, just what everybody's going through, you know, physically.
Yeah, exactly what you just said. At this point in the year, everybody's going through something. Nobody is 100%, and that's just the toll that the season takes on you. I think it just helps from a mental toughness standpoint of realizing, like, hey, I'm not the only one going through something. I got to find a way to push through, find a way to continue to be out there and do what it takes to be able to show up for your guys and for your team. But like you just said, everybody's going through something different, but we all have something going on. So just trying to figure all of that out and move forward and continue to get better is the main key this time of the year.
Well, Jason, you're playing for a team right now that's fighting for one of the top seeds in the AFC. The Bengals really aren't. Their record says as much. And you've, in your career, played on teams that had a similar record to the Bengals come December. I'm curious, when you play on a team like that, like a team like Cincinnati, how do you stay focused knowing you're not going to be a playoff team? Because this is different this year, but you've played on teams like Cincy that in December, they're probably thinking about what draft pick we're going to get and not about getting to a playoff spot.
Yeah, I mean, that's more the norm for me than the latter.
Well, I wasn't going to say that. I wasn't going to say that, Jason. Yeah. You can say that.
Yeah, you just alluded to it.
Yes, I did.
But I think there's times at this time of the year, you're not even thinking about a draft, but you're thinking about, hey, like, where am I going on vacation, things of that nature. But I think at the same time, it's what makes you a dangerous team. I remember being some seasons where it's late in the season, you're going against a team, and you put up kind of the things that they're trying to accomplish, and you realize, like, man, we can ruin this for them, or we can ruin that for them. I think so as a team, you kind of bond together on a goal like that. And then I think individually, at this time of the year, when you don't have maybe the best record and you're struggling a little bit as a team, personally, you look up and it's just, all right, the realization is they're going to dismantle this team a little bit. It's not going to be the same coming back next season. So I think personally, you know, like, hey, I got to go out there and play good football, stay healthy, and show whether it's this organization that I still belong here or whether it's 31 other teams. I'm just like, hey, I'm showcasing my talent. And if I'm not here, I'm worthy of being picked up, and I'm showing what my value is. So I think no matter what your situation is late in the season, everybody always has something to play for. Even if it's an opportunity for your family to come watch you play and you want to shine for them, there's always a ton of different things that motivate guys late in the year to continue to work and continue to go out there and put their best foot forward.
I know you have a lot of work to do, business, in the next couple of weeks, but it's also the holiday season. Wondering what a twin gets his brother this time of year. You guys good gift givers back and forth?
Man, I can honestly say in 32 years, I've never bought my brother a Christmas gift. And I think I'm going to continue that streak going. What we did as kids, we combined our stuff. So instead of each buying somebody a gift, we gave gifts out together. So we didn't need to get each other a gift. We were combining our money and buying one gift for people. So we learned how to kind of cheat the game a little bit that way.
Would people ever spin it on you and be like, well, I'm getting you guys one gift then. How's that sound? You're getting me one gift? I'll give the two of you one gift.
Nowadays, you don't get many gifts.
That's
so
true.
I think those days are over. You know, moms and the wife and the kids will get you something. But beyond that, I mean, it's a struggle these days. So I think for us, it's more about the giving part.
He's Patriots corner, Jason McCourty. Thanks for the time today, Jason, and good luck on Sunday.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, it's Jason joining us on the Harbor One Bank hotline.
So you give him a $25 gift certificate. $12.50 for each of you, by the way.
For you guys. I mean, I got
enjoy.
Split that. Hey.
TGI Fridays.
I mean, they share
a lot differently.
We open Jason kind of bailed you out.
What were you hoping?
We gave a good answer.
Jason
gave a great answer.
Good answer to a good question.
The question gets
learn it sometime.
Jason should have said, you're really wondering what a twin gets a twin for Christmas?
I'm the one who asked Brandon Bass back in the day why he picked Boston, and he said to me on the air, like a traded here. That's why I picked Boston.
Well, good for
thanks,
you, Brandon.
Good take, buddy.
Thanks for coming to the city.
My wife's a twin, so I was just wondering. They buy each other gifts.
Interesting. How about
I didn't know.
Are they identical twins?
Yes.
Ooh.
Can you tell them apart?
Yes.
Okay.
Is there...
That probably comes in handy. That could be trouble. The old Christmas party.
I swear you drink on Fridays.
I might.
Are you staring at my sister? Well, I mean, she's...
No, I could have sworn it was you. Like, no, you know for a fact that it wasn't.
Bounce.
Good job, John.
We come back. We'll get into twins and
twin stuff. And twins. That was a popular ad.
It's Coors Light commercial.
617-779-7937. We'll turn our attention to the Red Sox. They have two major decisions to make. Mutt wants Mookie Betts out. We all want David Price out. We'll get into how that could possibly happen here on Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart and Mutt.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.